The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Something that this show and others have covered over recent days has been the news about CBS Sing Street, the famous school in Dublin, which is turning into a Gaelcláiste, and it's also becoming co-ed. Now, there's been stories in the papers and here and elsewhere about some confusion on the part of teachers about kind of job security, given that it is an Irish language school now. But what we want to focus on is the co-ed aspect and how easy or otherwise it is to go from a single-sex school to a co-ed. So Michelle O'Kelly is with me from the Mercy Secondary School in Inchicore in Dublin, because they did exactly this. Michelle, you're very, very welcome to the show. So when did you guys go co-ed?
Hiya, thanks a million for having me on this evening. And I suppose before I get stuck in, I'd just like to say that I do have colleagues down in CBS Sing Street, and they are doing brilliant work. And I'd like to just put that in there before we talk about going co-ed.
Absolutely.
We became co-ed in 2019 when we welcomed boys to our school for the very first time. And since then, we've actually doubled our student numbers. So I think for our community in Inchicore, that speaks volumes around the success that we've had in becoming a co-educational school.
So let's go back before 2019. When did this journey to co-education begin, and why?
So our journey began maybe 5 years before that, when we were listening to the voice of parents in our community, and all our primary schools became co-educational schools. And when their children were then transitioning to second level, the boys were having to leave the community of Inchicore to find second level education, because we were the only second level school in Inchicore. And we had parents dropping off their kids saying, I have to do another drop now to another school, or, you know, my child won't go home late tonight because they're bussing it out of Inchicore to get a bus. And also, we were driving into work every day and seeing these young boys at bus stops going outside of their community to be educated. It just didn't make sense to any of us who lived or worked in the community. So it was the parents' voice that we listened to most. And we did some research within our school and the existing parents that we have there, because obviously we were serving a very good purpose, educating young women in the area. And we had to make sure that we balanced still providing that education while making the transition to becoming co-ed. And the research from the existing parents was overwhelmingly positive in terms of becoming a co-educational school. And once we had parents on board, to be honest, we kind of pushed open doors down, because, you know, our trustees were very behind the idea of us becoming co-educational, as were the Department of Education. So once we made the decision, it all happened within a year.
Wow.
It happened very quickly. Yeah.
And what was the view of teachers in the school? Or maybe what were the preconceptions they might have had about boys coming? You know, maybe they thought kind of boys are going to be, there'd be a degree of wildness introduced to the school with all these young fellas.
And, you know, there is some research out there as well that will say, you know, girls don't fare out as well as boys in terms of the points race in co-educational schools. And that research kind of was doing the rounds, as well as that kind of stereotypical, you know, we have great culture here with the girls and we have high expectations for the girls. And will the culture shift a little once we welcome boys?
once we introduce all these feckless teenage boys into the system.
yeah, exactly. But, do you know, in fairness, we did it very slowly and we only welcomed the boys into first year.
Yeah.
And we developed a really strong transition program from primary to secondary school, where the boys and the girls were very aware of the expectations we had in our school, the culture we had in our school, and how we would expect things to run while they were in our school. And because there were so many girls in the school versus boys, they, in fairness to the boys, they got in line and they kind of have followed our expectations. And any kind of issues or worries we may have had around welcoming boys and would they distract the girls, genuinely, by Christmas of that year, we knew we had nothing to worry about. We knew that the boys were in a really good space and they were very well supported in terms of becoming part of our school community. And they're in sixth year now, it's been hugely successful.
So, yeah, I was about to say that. I was trying to do the maths off the top of my head. So your first tranche of boys have almost gotten right through. They're into their final year in the school.
Yeah, yeah. So it was quite historic last year that we said goodbye to our last all girls graduation, yeah. And now we will have boys graduate next year. So we're very proud of that. I'm very proud of the boys.
And what have both genders, what both groups of students, what have they gained out of being in a co-educational school? You know, maybe from a kind of cultural thing, an attitude thing, or even just a kind of an academic point of view, subject exposure and everything.
Yeah. So I suppose in our school, you know, our whole vision and ethos is that education is there to help young people make meaning and sense of the world that they live in. So, you know, it didn't make sense that the girls were going to one school and the boys were going to another school to make meaning and sense of the same community that they lived in. So now they're sitting around with each other and making sense of the challenges that they face and things going on in their world. And they're supporting each other and they're listening to each other's views and seeing, you know, how they can meet each other halfway on things that they might differ on. And in terms of the curriculum changes, we were an all-girls school and due to numbers, we were limited by the amount of subjects that we could offer girls. Mm. And we had the girls campaigning because they didn't do physics and they didn't feel like they had enough science subjects. And we had to explain that's because we don't have enough allocations from the Department of Education. So now that we have the boys and more students, we can offer all subjects to all young people. So if a boy would like to do something that's traditionally seen as a girl subject, that's no problem, and vice versa. So it's opened up huge curriculum opportunities for the young people and huge extracurricular opportunities for the young people. Because I will say the boys have brought an energy around sport and being active and it's caught on to the girls and that's brilliant to see.
Well, what about sometimes when you speak to advocates of single-sex schooling, they talk about girls in particular maybe feeling under undue pressure, kind of when it comes to appearance and things, if there's boys in the classroom. I know that's certainly an argument we've heard from some people on this show. Have you seen experience of that?
No, to be fair, where I see that pressure is on social media.
Okay.
So I see the girls looking on social media and they see what they think is perfection. And they do look for perfectionism in terms of their Instagram or their Snapchat. But genuinely, I don't see it with the boys, and the girls actually become more practical and more just, they get to a point where they don't really, not that they don't care, but it's not a huge thing what the boys think of them. They're just their peers. They're just their classmates. And they're not coming into school every day done up to the nines because there's boys in the school. I think that's a wider issue around young people and the influences of social media.
So you said right at the outset, you've got colleagues, you know, in Sing Street. So if they're listening, or indeed kind of teachers up and down the country in any school who may be looking at doing something like this, what advice would you give them in terms of what lessons did you learn? What did you wish someone had told you beforehand? Maybe something that was a bit of a teething problem.
Well, I think one of the big lessons is listen to your community. And like, there's a lot in the media at the moment about going co-educational, but there's, like, one size doesn't fit all. And, you know, if we'd have tried to go co-educational without the community supporting us, it wouldn't have worked. Mm. So I wouldn't just jump to change the type of school I have just because of what might be in the media. You know, listen to your parents, listen to the young people and see what the needs are in the community. And then if you are going to go co-ed, one of the big things for us was it happened so quickly. We didn't have the infrastructure and we didn't have like all the woodwork room and the tech graph room. We didn't have all those rooms in place as quickly as I'd have liked to have them in place for young people. So that took time. Like, I mean, we got the very basic things done, for example, toilets, etc. But we're still working on those specialist rooms, you know. And that's a process that takes quite long to the Department of Education. So maybe if you are thinking about going co-ed, look into that even before you become co-ed so that you can offer all those as soon as the young people come to your school.
Good advice. Michelle, listen, thanks a million for chatting to us. Michelle O'Kelly is from the Mercy Secondary School in Inchicore in Dublin. As she said, went co-ed back in 2019. That first group of boys in first year, now in sixth year.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.